This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, visit LibriVox.org. Domestic Cookery: Useful Recipes and Hints to Young Housekeepers by Elizabeth E. Lee. Section 16. Simple Remedies. The following remedies are for diseases which occur in almost every family and have been proved to be useful in a number of instances. As most old housekeepers have their favorite recipes, it is for the young and inexperienced these are particularly intended, and may be used with safety when a physician is not at hand. Remarks upon a deeply seated cough. It is very important to begin in time with a cold. Consumption is sometimes prevented by very simple remedies. To put burgundy pitch plasters on the breast and back of the neck often has a good effect. They should be respread frequently, and when one part is irritated, change them to another place. Put one on your side if you have a pain there. Flannel should be put on next the skin by all means, which, with the above simple remedies, will cure a cold if begun with in time. I have frequently known new flannel put on those that usually wore it greatly to benefit a delicate person. The increased irritation of the new flannel acts on the pores of the skin and promotes circulation. Hair soles worn in the shoe, or socks made of flannel, or soft buckskin worn under the stockings are very good to keep the feet warm and dry. Persons predisposed to consumption should have nourishing food and not eat too much at a time. They should avoid strong tea or coffee and drink milk. Eggs, oysters, fresh fish, and fowls are very good for them. Fruit of all kinds is useful. They should exercise in the air, particularly riding on horseback, or take a short walk, but not so as to be fatigued. To work moderately in a garden, when the ground is not too damp, is good exercise for a delicate person. The smell of fresh earth and of flowers is beneficial to both body and mind. After taking exercise, a glass of lemonade is very refreshing and promotes appetite. If there should be perspiration at night, change the sheets and pillowcases frequently, and the undergarments. Air the chamber and bed clothes every day. If the weather is too damp to raise the windows, shake up the bed and leave it unmade half of the day, and put it out in the sun occasionally. By all means, avoid strong medicine or anything that has a tendency to weaken the body. Sometimes blisters are used with very good effect. Also, rubbing the breast and back with camphor or spirits or with a piece of dry flannel. Taking anodyne drops, particularly laudanum, should be avoided if possible. They may still the cough at night, but it will come on with increased violence in the morning. They weaken the stomach and increase the fever, and sometimes cause delirium. Everything that tends to excite or irritate the mind should be kept from them. It is very important to talk cheerfully to sick persons, particularly if confined to their chamber, which can be done without lightness or trifling. If they see gloomy faces around them, it has a very disheartening effect, and if the mind sinks, such is its intimate connection with the body, that it is hard to raise it. I have known persons, by judicious management, to live for many years after it was thought they were in a deep decline. By avoiding weakening medicines, taking exercise on horseback and on foot, and never indulging in a full meal. Sometimes such persons have very good appetites and it is a satisfaction to their friends to see them eat heartily, but they should eat something frequently, rather than overload the stomach too much. When they come in hungry from a ride, to beat up an egg with a teaspoonful of wine, and a little sugar and nutmeg out in a tumbler with some milk, and taken with a cracker or biscuit, or a piece of thin toast broken up in it, has a very strengthening effect. Persons are seldom benefited by a strict diet, but it is sometimes enforced till they lose their appetite and cannot eat. If the weather is so that exercise cannot be taken out of doors, some method should be devised for taking it in the house. Rubbing furniture and playing battledore are good exercise for a female, but should not be taken too much at a time. Men that are confined to the house are sometimes very much at a loss what to do. If such would purchase a few tools and appropriate a spare room as a workshop, it would promote their health. I have known men that were but little acquainted with the use of tools do many useful and ornamental pieces of work that were greatly valued by their friends, and the exertion kept their spirits from sinking when the weather was too inclement to take exercise in the open air. For a cough, take a wine glass of the juice of the green horehound, or if that cannot be obtained, a strong decoction from the dry herb will answer. Mix it in half a pint of new milk, sweetened either with sugar or honey. Take this half an hour before breakfast. It has been known to cure obstinate coughs, and persons that have taken it for 4 weeks or more have gained strength and flesh, and the pain in the breast was relieved. Flannel should be worn. Elecampane and horehound syrup. Put a pint of horehound in a quart of water, and let it draw by the fire. Put a teacupful of dried elecampane root in a pint of water, cover it close, and let it boil till all the strength is out. Strain it and the horehound together, and put them to boil with a pound of sugar. When it is a rich syrup, pour it in a pitcher to cool, and bottle it. Take a tablespoonful at a time when the cough is troublesome. Sometimes flaxseed is a useful addition to this syrup. Brown mixture for a cough. Take of paregoric, licorice, and gum arabic, each an ounce, from 50 to 100 drops of antimonial wine, and 2 gills of hot water. Mix them well together, and when cold, bottle and cork it tight. Take 2 teaspoonsful at a time. If it should nauseate, give a smaller quantity. If this produce profuse perspiration, avoid going in the air unless well wrapped up. This has been useful in the latter stages of the whooping cough. Ginger tea, with remarks on its use, etc. Strong ginger tea, sweetened and taken hot on going to bed, is very good. Where persons have been exposed to the air and think they have taken fresh cold, keep the feet warm by taking a hot brick to bed, and do not increase the cold the next day. If it is not deeply seated, taking this a few nights will give relief. A piece of ginger root, kept about the person to chew, is good for a tickling in the throat, which many persons are subject to. When sitting in close, heated apartments, in lecture rooms, or places of worship. Lemon mixture for a cough. Put 2 fresh eggs in a jar, cover them with the juice of 6 large lemons, let it stand until the hard shell of the eggs is eaten off, then beat it together, strain it, and add 1/2 pound of rock candy, 1 gill of brandy, and 2 tablespoonsful of sweet oil. mixture of lemon juice and honey. Take half a pint of honey and squeeze the juice of 4 lemons on it. Mix well together and add a small portion of sugar. Take a teaspoonful every time the cough is troublesome. Horehound Candy. Put 2 pounds of sugar in a pint of horehound tea, as strong as can be made, which may be done by drawing 2 sets of horehound in the same water, till the strength is out of each. When it is cold, mix in the sugar and the white of an egg. When it begins to boil, take off the scum as it rises, boil it slowly till it becomes thick, so that when you drop it on a plate, it will be hard and crisp, and pour it out in plates that have been greased with a little sweet butter. When cold, you can break it up for use, and tie it up in a jar. This is quite as useful as the candy you buy, and is much cheaper. It is very convenient for persons with a cough to have a little box of this about them to take when there is a tickling in the throat. Mustard bath for the feet, soapstones, etc. It gives relief to a bad cold in the early stages to soak the feet in warm water in which you have put 1/2 teacup full of salt and 2 tablespoonsful of pulverized mustard, and to drink ginger tea. You may keep your feet in the bath for 1/2 hour, and then retire with a warm soapstone wrapped in a cloth and placed near them. A soapstone the size of a brick will, when thoroughly heated, keep warm until morning, and is invaluable for an elderly person or one that suffers with cold feet. Liverwort syrup. Make a quart of strong liverwort tea by extracting 2 sets of herbs in the same water. Tie a teacup of flaxseed in a bag and put with it. Keep it covered while drawing. When the strength is all out, strain it on 1 pound of sugar and let it boil slowly till it is thick, keeping it covered to prevent the strength from going off. When cold, bottle it and set the bottle in a cool place while using it. Take a tablespoonful at a time, about 6 times a day. This has been used for a cough with great benefit. For sore throat, make a gargle of cayenne pepper, honey, and spirits, or sage tea with alum and honey, or figs, boiled, mashed, and strained, and use it once in 2 hours. If it is very bad, steam the mouth with a funnel held over hot vinegar and put on a hot poultice of hops, boiled in weak ley and thickened with cornmeal. There should be a little lard spread over. Renew it every time it gets cold. Another very good poultice is hot mush strewed with powdered camphor. Put it on as hot as can be borne and change it when cold. A purgative should be given, either of senna and salts, castor oil, or rhubarb and soap pills. An emetic is of great importance and has caused the throat to break when persons have been very ill. Sore throats have been cured when quinsy was apprehended by using powder, camphor, and lard on flannel. It is a good way, when persons are subject to it, to keep 1 ounce of camphor mixed with lard in a wide-mouthed bottle or jar and corked tight. The cayenne, pepper, and honey gargle should also be kept ready mixed and used when the first symptoms appear. Or, in a violent attack, a plaster of snuff and lard may be applied with benefit, keeping it on only a few minutes at a time. Sometimes a bag of hot ashes sprinkled with vinegar and applied hot as can be borne has cured a sore throat in 1 night. Persons that have been afflicted for years with repeated attacks of sore throat and quinsy have been cured by bathing the throat, neck, and ears with cold water every morning. The constant use of the shower bath is very important. Keep the feet warm. Molasses posset for a cold. Take 1 pint of the best molasses, 1 teaspoonful of powdered ginger, 1/4 pound of fresh butter, and let them simmer together for 1/2 hour. then stir in the juice of 2 lemons, or, if you have not these, 2 tablespoonsful of strong vinegar. Cover over the saucepan, and let it stand by the fire 5 minutes longer. Some of this may be taken warm or cold. For whooping cough, dissolve a scruple of salts of tartar in a gill of water, put in 1/2 scruple of pulverized cochineal, sweeten it with loaf sugar, give an infant a teaspoonful of this mixture 4 times a day, and a child 4 years old or upwards a tablespoonful. In some cases, the relief is instantaneous. Another remedy: 1/2 pint of honey, 1/2 pint of vinegar, 2 tablespoonsful of sweet oil, stewed together a few minutes. When cold, put it in a bottle, and put in 1 teaspoonful of laudanum. Shake it well, and give 1 tablespoonful when the cough is troublesome, and a dose just before going to bed. For an infant of 6 months, a small teaspoonful is a dose, and for a child of 4 years, 2 teaspoonsful. When there is not much fever, a little port or claret wine, mixed with sugar and water, and taken with toast broken in it, is beneficial. Children should be taken out riding, if possible, and should be well wrapped up. For the croup, put the child in warm water and keep up the temperature by putting in more hot water. Keep it in 15 or 20 minutes, then wipe it dry and put it in a warm bed. Or wrap a blanket round it and hold it on the lap, and give it an emetic. And put powdered garlic and lard to the throat and soles of the feet. Keep up the perspiration by giving a few drops of antimonial wine every 1/2 hour. The next morning, give it a dose of rhubarb tea or castor oil, and keep it from the air for several days. This treatment has been very beneficial when a physician was not at hand, and had nothing been done till his arrival, perhaps the child would have been too far gone to recover. In cases of croup, to wet a piece of flannel with alcohol and apply it to the throat as hot as it can be borne has often a salutary effect, applied frequently. It is also good to use for a bad cold, etc. Molasses stewed with a lump of butter and 1 tablespoonful of vinegar, taken just before you go to bed, and to grease the nose, forehead, and breast with mutton tallow, will sometimes cure a child without anything else. To pound out garlic in a rag and squeeze out the juice, mix it with molasses and give 1 teaspoonful at a time, has given relief when a child was very ill. Sliced onions or garlic, stewed with sugar and water, or molasses, is very good to take for a cold. Where children are subject to the croup, you should always have a pot of water over the fire and light wood near to heat it up as quick as possible. Children that are subject to these attacks should have their feet kept warm and dry, and always wear flannel next to the skin. It is the duty of parents to make use of the most simple remedies, which may always be in readiness, and, if applied in time, may prevent the necessity of giving strong medicines, which injure the constitutions of young children. The least symptom of the disease should be attended to. Lobelia is a certain remedy for croup. If the case is light, a few drops of the tincture, increasing the dose according to the age of the child, given at short intervals, will cause it to vomit and prevent danger. But if the attack is a severe one, you should give the, quote, third preparation of lobelia, close quote, for a child of 10 years, 10 drops, and so on in proportion. Mix it with sugar and water. Every mother should keep lobelia at hand, as it has been known to give certain relief in many cases. A child of 12 months may take of the tincture 10 drops every 15 or 20 minutes, till it acts as an emetic, or relieves by perspiration. One of 2 or 3 years may take 20 or 30 drops. The third preparation is of much greater strength than the tincture. Infant's colic, etc. Tea, made of catnip and sweetened, given to an infant when it appears to be in pain, is often useful. Sweet marjoram tea also relieves pain and has a soothing effect on the nerves. To put the feet in warm water and put a warm piece of flannel to the stomach is important, but if neither of these relieve the child, put it in warm water for about 10 minutes and cover it from the air carefully. Wipe it dry and keep it warm afterwards. A little weak ginger tea is good for the colic, as also tea made of dried damask rose leaves. A teaspoonful of leaves will make a teacupful of tea. Uneasiness is frequently caused by their stomachs being overloaded with food, and care should be taken in this respect. Having lately met with some remarks in the Baltimore American, with which I am much pleased, I take the liberty of inserting them here. Quote, "Narcotics and anodynes cannot be given with too much caution. The sensitive and nervous system of an infant should never be acted upon by these powerful drugs unless in extreme cases, and of these few mothers should presume to judge. 2 drops of laudanum," says the London Medical Gazette, "have been known to kill an infant, and a single drop, it is said, stole the life of a newborn babe. The most experienced medical men never administer medicines of this class to the very young without exercising the utmost caution and making the most accurate calculations. In the present day, the more general diffusion of correct facts in physiology and pathology have caused a large class of young mothers to reject the old system of giving narcotic drugs to infants. In carrying out this salutary reformation, like all other reformers, they have a strong opposition to contend with. Old-fashioned nurses do much harm in opposing all nursery reformations. Consequently, young mothers will have a hard task to execute. Too many have not the steady courage to hold on to the end in the mild but firm opposition to all erroneous but well-meant interference. But there are others whose pure and unswerving love for their tender offspring keeps them firm to their duty. To these, the next generation will owe much. They are the little band of true-hearted reformers whose good example will be like leaven, spreading until its influence is felt throughout the wide circle of maternal responsibility." Close quote. Summer diseases. The food of children in summer should be light and nourishing. If of milk, be careful that it is sweet. If you cannot get it fresh as often as you want it, boiling will keep it sweet. Sour milk and improper food sometimes bring on the summer disease, which is easier prevented than cured. A little rhubarb tea or tincture with a small quantity of prepared chalk will sometimes check it in its early stages, but the most effectual medicine that I have tried is called by some apothecaries red mixture, of which I will give a recipe. Chicken water, slightly salted, is very good. Make but a little at a time and have it fresh. Rice gruel, sweetened with loaf sugar and a little nutmeg, is nourishing. To make a drink of slippery elm, shave the bark fine and put it in water. Strain it, mix it with milk, and sweeten it. Elderberry and blackberry cordials are also good in cases where there is no fever. The stomach and back should be bathed with spirits and a little bag of pounded spices, wet with spirits, applied to the stomach, may be used with safety when not within reach of a physician. A bark jacket has been used with success in many instances. Cut it out of fine muslin to be double, spread it open, and cover one side with about 2 ounces of the best Lima bark and 12 pounded cloves. put on the other side, sew it up and quilt it across. Put on shoulder straps and strings of soft ribbon. Sprinkle it with spirits twice a day. The child should have the benefit of the morning and evening air. If it is not convenient to ride it out, walking will answer in the arms of a careful nurse. Carried on a pillow with an umbrella to protect its eyes from the light. When a child is taken sick in a city, removing it to the country often has a beneficial effect. Milk thickened with arrowroot is good diet for children. Flour dried in an oven for several hours and used to thicken milk or water is also good, sweetened with loaf sugar, and is nutritious. They should eat but a small portion of anything at a time. To cut slices of lean, fresh beef or mutton, put it in a bowl and pour a pint of boiling water on it and let it set close on the fire for an hour, is very good to give children occasionally with but little salt. The stomach will sometimes retain this when other things are rejected. As thirst is an attendant on this disease, much salt should be avoided in all their food. Everything about a sick child should be kept clean, and its clothes well aired before changing them. If it is too ill to carry out of doors, have it changed from one room to another, and the apartment it left well aired. Children who are afflicted with this disease sometimes crave fruit. Ripe peaches, fresh from the tree, or ripe apples, baked or roasted before the fire, may be occasionally administered in small quantities with perfect safety. To make toast water, the bread should be toasted on both sides very dry, and boiling water poured on it. I hope these hints will be useful to persons that cannot procure a physician, which is often the case in the country. Mustard whey. Boil a pint of milk and the same of water with an ounce and a half of bruised mustard seed until the curd separates. When, strain the whey. This is a most desirable way of administering mustard. It warms and invigorates the system, promotes the different secretions, and in the low state of nervous fevers, will often supply the place of wine. It is also of use in chronic rheumatism, palsy, and dropsy. Red mixture. Take 16 grains of powdered rhubarb, 30 of soda, 50 of prepared chalk, and 2 drops of the oil of spearmint, mixed in a vial with 2 ounces of water. Keep it corked up and shake it before giving a dose. A child of 10 months old should take a teaspoonful every 3 or 4 hours. If there is much pain, 2 drops of laudanum may be added to every other dose. A tablespoonful is a dose for a grown person. Erysipelas. The decoction of sarsaparilla has proved useful in cases of erysipelas. Take 2 ounces of sarsaparilla, 1 of sassafras, 1 of burdock root, and 1 of licorice. Boil them slowly in 3 pints of water, keeping it covered close, until reduced to 1/2. Take 2 tablespoons full 4 times a day. While taking medicine for erysipelas, meat and all strong food should be avoided, and everything that has a tendency to inflame the blood. Dusting the parts affected with rye or buckwheat flour sometimes has a cooling effect, and bathing with camphor or spirits will allay the irritation. Nettle rash is very much like erysipelas, and the same treatment is good for both. Slippery elm bark, chipped and let to stand in cold water till it becomes thick, is a very cooling drink. It may be filled up the second time. barley water is also a suitable drink. Erysipelas is frequently brought on by violent exercise, and the perspiration being checked too suddenly. Persons that have once had it should avoid extremes of cold and heat, and pay strict attention to diet, not eating anything that disagrees with them. All acids, particularly pickles, are improper. The stomach should be cleansed by emetics. Small and frequent doses of senna and salts, if taken just at going to bed, will not occasion much sickness and tend greatly to relieve the system of this unpleasant disease. Where the case is slight, the rhubarb pills sometimes give relief. The pores of those that are subject to it are generally open, and flannel should be worn all the year to prevent too sudden a check of perspiration. Magnesia, charcoal, and salt form a valuable compound for family use. 1 ounce of each mixed together and put in a wide-mouthed bottle. It is useful for headache or diseases of the skin. Cases of erysipelas have been cured by its continued use. Take a teaspoonful of the mixture and a little water 2 or 3 times a day, or on going to bed at night. Persons of sedentary occupations that are in the habit of taking pills will find it to their relief to use this simple remedy. It has been found beneficial in cases of tetter and ringworm in the head, using at the same time as a wash on the part affected, borax dissolved in strong vinegar. In cases of erysipelas, this charcoal mixture has been used with great benefit. It is excellent for purifying the blood. Take it in small doses for 2 or 3 weeks. Then discontinue it and take it again at intervals. If this medicine should be found unpleasant, take a teaspoonful of jelly or something of that kind after it. It will answer quite as well to keep the magnesia, charcoal, and salts in separate bottles and mix them just as you take the dose, taking about an even teaspoonful of each. For dropsy, put 1/4 pound of cream of tartar and 1 pound of new nails in a stone jug with 1/2 gallon of water. Let it stand 3 or 4 days, occasionally shaking it. Take a tablespoonful 3 times a day on an empty stomach, and 1/2 hour after each dose, take 2 spoonsful of mustard seed or scraped horseradish. If the swelling abates, you may take the medicine less frequently or omit every other day, but do not leave it off until you are entirely cured. After it has stood some time, it becomes stronger, when you may put in more water. This has been highly recommended for the dropsy. Another remedy: take 1 quart of gin, put into it 1 handful of the white buds of the common pine, shake it frequently, and take 1/2 wine glassful at a time, twice a day, about 1 hour before a meal, and occasionally eat a little brown mustard seed. This should be persevered in, and has been known to afford great relief in 2 obstinate cases. For rheumatism, persons are liable to have the rheumatism from taking cold in the winter. Where the pain is most violent, put on plasters of burgundy pitch, spread on leather. Persons that are subject to it should always keep pitch in the house, as it will give great relief. A silk handkerchief tied round the joint keeps it warm and relieves stiffness. If the pain is in the back part of the head, put a blister on the neck, by all means. When persons have had a bad spell of rheumatism, they should always take medicine and avoid eating meat for a few days. Equal parts of rhubarb and castile soap, made into pills, with a little water, is a valuable medicine for rheumatism and suits aged persons. The pills should be taken at night on going to bed. They are easily made and should always be at hand. It is valuable as a cathartic in almost every case where mild medicine is necessary. The use of the shower bath is also beneficial. Flannel should always be worn next to the skin and the feet kept dry. Bathing with camphor sometimes relieves the pain, but there is a danger of driving it to a more vital part. Salt and water is useful to bathe for the rheumatism when it is of long standing. Deafness, remarks, etc. A remarkable case of deafness was cured by the following remedy. An aged person, whose hearing had been very good, gradually became so deaf as not to be able to hear common conversation. After suffering some months, the patient thought of trying the following remedy. Of honey, brandy, and sweet oil, each a teaspoonful, warm and mix well together. Sew a soft linen rag to the eye of a strong darning needle. Dip this mop in the mixture while warm, and put it in the ear. Hold it till cold, when renew and move it gently about. By so doing, wax that had accumulated, hardened, and stopped the cavity was discharged, and the hearing of the patient restored. Wool should be worn in the ears, and an occasional use of the mixture, also flannel round the head at night. A young person was relieved by the persevering use of the following remedies. Put a small blister of Spanish flies behind the ears, very high up on the hard part, so as to be clear of the leaders, or it will occasion pain. When drawn, dress them in the usual way, and as soon as healed, renew them. Repeat this several times, keeping wool in the ears, dipped in sweet oil. And at night put in small pieces of fat bacon that has been boiled, and tie a handkerchief around it to keep them warm. When the blisters are healed, the hair should be cut short to enable the patient to bathe the head in cold water, which should be poured from a pitcher. Begin with it a little warm and gradually get it colder. This should be persevered in, even in cold weather. Wipe the head and tie it up till dry. I have been induced to make these remedies public by seeing several interesting young persons suffering from deafness, with a hope that they may be of use. Remedy for sick headache. A tablespoonful of table salt, dissolved in a pint of water, as warm as you can drink it. Take at two doses and drink freely of lukewarm water until it causes vomiting. Put a hot brick to the feet and avoid the air, which will check the perspiration. The oil of butter, a remedy for dysentery, etc. Put half a pound of fresh butter in a quart of boiling water to extract the salt. Let it melt and boil up. If there should be any curds on the top, take them off. Then skim off the clear butter and keep it covered by the fire. Give from 1 to 2 tablespoonsful at a time, 3 or 4 times a day. This is useful in cases of dysentery, and is also soothing to the stomach after violent vomiting for a long time. Sometimes a plaster of mustard put on the stomach stops vomiting. For dysentery and diarrhea. The following prescription from an eminent physician has proved valuable. Take of calcined magnesium, 2 drams. Of aromatic spirits of ammonia, 2.5 drams, of water, 1/2 pint, and mix well together. And as a dose for a grown person, give a tablespoonful every 1/2 hour until relieved. Some country nurses recommend Ditany tea, or spicewood berries boiled in new milk. A large poultice on the stomach and bowels made of new milk, thickened with light bread, has given relief, keeping it warm. Be careful to keep the patient's feet warm and to bathe the back and stomach with spirits. Where the Ditany and spicewood cannot be obtained, other aromatics, as cinnamon and cloves, are good substitutes. Remedies for the dysentery and cholera morbus. Take the roots of the low-running blackberry or dewberry, make a strong tea, sweeten it, and drink it occasionally. Take a large apple, cut out the core, and wrap it in wet paper. Cover it up in hot ashes, and, when cooked, take off the paper and eat it cold. Take 1 pint of good hard cider, that is entirely sound. Put a tablespoonful of hot ashes into it, and stir it as soon as it settles. Take a tablespoonful once every hour for a grown person, until relief is obtained. Remedy for the earache. Mix a few drops of French brandy with sweet oil and a drop of laudanum, and pour it in the ear a little warm. Another valuable remedy is to take a few wood lice and stew them in little lard, which should be very pure, for 3 or 4 minutes. Then strain it and pour some in the ear before it gets cool. This gives almost immediate relief. The heart of a roasted onion put warm in the ear and tied around the head with a silk handkerchief has given relief. A wash for sore ears. Make a tea of the black or candle alder, wet a soft rag with it, and lay it on. It should be applied 3 times a day, and occasionally wash it with Castile soap and water. The patient should take a mild purgative. If the ears are very much inflamed, there should be a bread and milk poultice put on occasionally. Elder ointment is also beneficial. Weak eyes. Make a strong decoction of chamomile flowers by boiling them in new milk. With this, bathe the eyes several times a day, continuing for several weeks. To bathe the eyes in cold water before going to rest is also good. Pure rye whiskey is very good to bathe weak eyes. Persons that are afflicted with sore eyes have often been benefited by putting a small blister behind the ears, very high up in the hard part, so as to avoid the leaders. Infants should not be exposed to the light too soon. It sometimes weakens the sight and seriously injures the eyes. The pith of sassafras, put in water, is good to bathe inflamed eyes. A decoction of young hyson tea is also used with benefit. Persons afflicted with weak eyes should avoid a strong light, and should not strain their eyes with reading or sewing at night. I have known small doses of charcoal mixture relieve the eyes when there was a slight inflammation. Attention to diet is necessary. Fold a linen handkerchief, dip it in cold water, and bind it over the eyes at night on retiring, and you will experience relief. Pain in the eyeballs is also relieved by gently rubbing the finger and thumb over the lids towards the nose. This was published some years since, and I have known it to give relief and strengthen the eyes. For worms. Equal parts of salt and sugar, taken while fasting, are good for worms. A teaspoonful is sufficient for a child 2 years old. To take 1/2 cup of chamomile, rue, or wormwood tea, with a little sugar, 2 hours before breakfast, is also good. Give a dose of senna after they have been taking this 3 days. It is very important to bruise garlic and rue to apply it to the stomach. Put it in a bag and wet it with spirits every day. The garlic and rue is said to keep the worms out of the stomach. Worm seed oil, a few drops at a time, has given relief, but should be used cautiously. Old cheese grated and given to a child has been known to afford relief. It is also beneficial when a child is seized with sudden illness from having eaten too many cherries. For toothache, reduce 2 drams of alum to a very fine powder and mix it with 7 drams of nitrous spirits of ether. Apply it to the tooth. Alum burnt on a hot shovel and powdered is sometimes good. Also, 1/2 drop of the oil of cinnamon on a piece of cotton or lint where the tooth is hollow. Cayenne pepper on cotton, and moistened with spirits of camphor, has been known to afford relief. A poultice of hops applied to the cheek, or a piece of raw cotton with red pepper dusted on it, or a mustard plaster, will relieve a swelling which proceeds from toothache. Cure for cholera morbus. Put a tablespoonful of hot ashes in half a pint of good hard cider, and give the patient 3 tablespoonfuls of it at a time. This has given relief in half an hour. Another cure is to take a soft cork and hum it thoroughly. When it ceases to blaze, powder the coal very fine on a plate. Mix a tablespoonful of this powder with a little milk or water, or anything agreeable to the palate. Repeat the dose till the disorder ceases, which it generally does after 2 or 3 doses. This has given great relief to a person in the greatest agony with the bilious colic. For colic, drink strong ginger tea while hot, and put hot bricks to the stomach and feet. If this does not give relief, take a dose of rhubarb or castor oil. Persons subject to the colic should keep a piece of ginger about them to chew after eating. Wear flannel next to the skin, and be careful to keep the feet dry. They should avoid strong coffee and tea, and eat nothing that disagrees with them. Dry toast with butter and crackers are good for persons that have the colic. For violent cases, take 2 tablespoonfuls of brandy and 1/2 teaspoonful of black pepper. For bilious colic and indigestion, put 3 quarts of boiling water on 1 quart of hickory ashes and 1 teacup of soot. Let it stand 1 day, then filter it, and if the complaint is bad, take a wine glassful before and after each meal. This has been very beneficial to persons with the above complaint. Warner's Cordial for Gout in the Stomach. Take 1 ounce of rhubarb, 2 drams of senna, 2 of fennel seed, 2 of coriander seed, 1 of saffron, and 1 of licorice. Stone and cut 1/2 pound of good raisins, and put all in 1 quart of good spirits. Let it stand in a warm place for 10 days, shaking it every day. Then strain it off and add 1 pint more spirits to the same ingredients. When all the strength is extracted, strain it and mix the first and last together. Take from 2 to 4 spoonsful of this cordial in as much boiling water as will make it as hot as you can take it. If the pain is not removed in 1/2 hour, repeat the dose, and if your stomach will not retain it, add 10 drops of laudanum. Dr. Warner remarks, quote, "After 20 years' experience of this medicine in myself and others, it is impossible for me to speak of it in terms higher than it deserves. When the vital parts are affected, persons subject to the gout should never sleep without it in their chamber." End of quote. Cure for tetter. Take 1 teaspoonful of powdered Spanish flies, put them in 1/2 pint of French brandy, wash the part affected occasionally. This has been highly recommended for me as a remedy for tetter on the hands, but I have never seen it tried. For cramp in the stomach, dissolve 1 teaspoonful of table salt in 1 teacup of warm water. If this does not stop the vomiting and cramp, repeat the dose. This is very useful in stopping the operation of an emetic when it has continued too long. Flannel cloths dipped in hot spirits and sprinkled with cayenne pepper and applied to the stomach sometimes relieves the pain. A mustard plaster is also of use. For cramp, A footboard to the bedstead is of great service. When you are taken with the cramps in the night, and by placing the foot against it, it will sometimes give relief. Another remedy is to tie a string round the limb, between the body and the pain, about as tight as a physician does to draw blood. Wear a bandage filled with pounded brimstone round the limb, to prevent a return of it. Sometimes to hold a roll of brimstone in each hand will relieve the cramp, and persons subject to it should keep some by the bedside to use in the night. For scalds and burns. When persons are badly scalded or burned, to put raw cotton on immediately and wet it with spirits is very good. Other remedies are linseed oil and lime water, starch and cream, scraped potatoes, molasses, and eggs beaten up and put on immediately. Almost anything will relieve the pain that excludes the air. Be careful not to break the skin, as it will be longer in healing. If a foot is scalded, pour cold water over it and cut the stocking. You should be careful to use linen rags about a burn, as cotton rags cause irritation. After the place begins to heal up, a salve may be applied made of equal parts of burgundy pitch, beeswax, sheep's tallow, and sweet oil, melted together over the fire. Renew it twice a day, washing the place each time with milk and water and a little Castile soap. A wash of weak sugar of lead water is also good for burns. A poultice of powdered elm bark mixed with water and put on frequently, wetting the sore with thick cream, is also soothing. Be careful that the limb does not contract, as there is great danger if the sinews are affected. If there should be a fever, a mild cathartic should be given. Comstock's pain extractor sometimes gives great relief. You may also apply immediately, with benefit, a teaspoonful of air-slaked lime and a teaspoonful of lard. Sift the lime and rub them well together. For a burn by vitriol or any caustic substance, apply whites of eggs mixed with powdered chalk, putting it on with a feather. Linen rags dipped in cold water and changed every few minutes, I have known applied day and night to give great relief to a bad burn on the foot. But avoid putting the foot in water. Although it gives present relief, it is dangerous. For ague, take 1/2 ounce of coarsely powdered race ginger, infused in 3 gills of boiling water. When cool, strain and sweeten it. And for a dose, give a heaped teaspoonful of Peruvian bark in a wine glass full of the ginger tea, every 2 hours during the absence of the fever. To 1 ounce of best Peruvian bark, add 2 ounces of cloves powdered, and 1/2 ounce of cream of tartar. Mix them well, and give 2 teaspoons full at a time every 2 hours. When clear of the fever, begin at 4 in the morning, and give it until 12 at noon. Wormwood seed, a heaped teaspoonful in a cup of water, as a dose, is also good. A third recipe is to take 2 ounces of best lima bark, 12 heaped teaspoons full of magnesia, to be well mixed together and divided into 12 doses. Take 4 doses on each well day, at intervals of 4 hours each. This has cured a number who had suffered from ague a long time. Chilblains. Put as much alum in hot water as will make it very strong. Put the feet in when it is as hot as can be borne, and keep them in till it is cold, and warm it over, and soak them every evening till they are entirely cured. By beginning, in time, it need only be applied 2 or 3 times. When blisters are formed, take 1 ounce of camphor, 1 of sheep's tallow, and 1 of sweet oil. Stew them together gently till it becomes an ointment, and put the feet with it. Take 1 ounce of glue and melt it in 1 pint of hot water over the fire. Stir it until the glue is dissolved, pour it out, and dip the part that is affected in this dilution until the uneasiness or burning is allayed, which is mostly in a few minutes. Lockjaw. If lockjaw is apprehended from a scratch or wound, bathe the injured part frequently with a weak ley or warm pearl ash water. Make a poultice by boiling bitter herbs in weak ley and thicken it with cornmeal. Put a little grease in just as you put it on. Bacon skin and the rind of fresh pork bound tightly on are said to be good. Falls. If a child receives a fall, examine every part and rub your hand on its back to tell if any part is injured. There are instances of persons being cripples for life from receiving a hurt that was not known of at the time. To rub with camphor and sweet oil and bathe the child in warm water is soothing. For the bite of a spider, moisten a slice of wheat bread with sugar of lead or pearl ash water. Bind it on and keep wetting it as it becomes dry. If the place swells very much, take a tablespoonful of sweet oil every hour till it is relieved. To drink water with saleratus dissolved in it has been useful. For the sting of a bee, rub the place with hartshorn or saleratus water immediately after it is stung to prevent it from swelling. Bruised peach leaves bound on are also good, and laudanum where it is very painful. If it swells very much, apply a poultice of onions and cream or ley and bitter herbs. For bruises, the oil of St. John's wort applied on lint is an excellent remedy for bruises, and if used immediately, will prevent the blood from settling on the place. When children get their fingers or toes mashed, this is very good and soon brings relief. Salt butter is also very good. The leaves of the Jamestown weed, mashed with cream, are good for a stone bruise. For felons, make a poultice of quicklime slaked in a soft soap and bind it on the finger. Renew it every 30 minutes. The leaves of Jamestown weed, bruised with cream or lard, are also good. Also, roast coarse salt in a piece of wet brown paper or cabbage leaf about 20 minutes. When cool, pound it and mix it with resin soap. Bind it on the felon. It is said to be a certain cure. The white of egg with unslaked lime has been known to give immediate relief. For a sprained limb, strong vinegar and salt put on brown paper will cure a slight sprain if applied frequently. If very painful, a bath should be made of bitter herbs, bran, and vinegar, put on as hot as you can bear it. Great care should be taken not to use the limb too soon after it has been sprained. Some sprains of several months standing have been greatly relieved by taking several electric shocks a day. St. John's wort oil is good to rub on a sprained limb. For a sprained ankle, of chalk, soft soap, salt, and brandy, take a spoonful each and add the white of an egg. Beat the mixture and spread it on raw cotton and apply it at once, when it will generally afford relief, and after repeatedly changing, it may be left off in 24 hours. The ankle is often weak when recovering, and benefit is derived from pouring cold water on it from a pitcher held high above you. Tallow and salt mixed and spread on a piece of muslin are good for a sprain. Cuts or wounds, etc. When cuts bleed very much, tie a handkerchief tight above the wound, or place a finger on it until you can get a physician. In the country, persons should be supplied with a surgical needle and adhesive plaster, and have lint scraped and linen rags in a convenient place. Balsam apple put in a bottle when fresh and whiskey poured on it is an excellent application for fresh cuts or bruises. For the stick of a needle or pin, try to make it bleed and hold the finger in strong vinegar and salt as hot as you can bear it. This will prevent a gathering. A mashed finger should be held in hot water a few minutes. Number 6 is a valuable remedy for cuts or wounds. Bind a linen rag over the cut and pour on the number 6. For tetter, warts, etc., dig up the pocoon root that grows in the woods, wash it and slice it, and put it in a bottle with strong vinegar. Bathe the parts with it several times a day. Celandine root is also good, used in the same way, and either of them will remove warts and ringworms. Poisons, accidents, etc. These are valuable remedies and should hold a place in the memory of everyone, if possible. Mix a spoonful of powdered mustard in a tumbler of warm water and drink it immediately. It acts as an emetic and has proved effectual where an ounce of poison has been taken into the stomach. When the skin is poisoned, use a wash of smartweed steeped in water, or mix soot and cream and apply it frequently. Bruised Jamestown weed and cream is also good. If you have been exposed to poisonous plants, wash your face and hands immediately in salt and vinegar, or salt and water. When corrosive sublimate has been swallowed, the whites of 2 eggs taken immediately will neutralize the poison and change the effect to that of a dose of calomel. Persons struck by lightning should be laid on the ground and pour water over them till life is restored. When oil of vitriol or agua fortis has been swallowed in large quantities, sweet oil should be taken, as much as can be retained on the stomach. For oxalic acid, give magnesia or chalk and water. For tartar emetic, give Peruvian bark and water, or a strong decoction of green tea if you have not the bark. For saltpeter, give an emetic of mustard seed with water, and afterwards elm bark mucilage and small doses of laudanum. This is also good in cases where arsenic has been swallowed. When a child has swallowed a scent, pin, or needle, give it the white of egg immediately. This forms a coating around the metal and prevents injury in most cases. Then give moderate doses of medicine such as castor oil or salts. When a fish bone has been swallowed, take the white of an egg, which will help to carry it down the throat. Also, cut a hard crust of bread. Insects taken into the stomach may generally be destroyed by taking a small quantity of vinegar and salt. When insects get into the ears, use a little salad oil or melted lard. Tar ointment for the milk crust. Take a quarter of a pound of lard and the same of sheep's tallow, 3 tablespoons full of tar, an even spoonful of sulfur, an ounce of white turpentine, a lump of beeswax the size of a hickory nut, the same quantity of powdered resin and scraped chalk, a teacupful of the inside bark of elder, a little celandine, southern wood, and English mallows. Bruise the herbs and put them on to boil, with the lard and tallow, and add a little water to keep it from burning. When all the strength is out, strain them and put the grease back in the pot with the tar, and add the other ingredients a little at a time, and stir till all is melted. Then strain it in a jar and keep it covered for use. tar ointment is good for ringworms in the head, which some children have, and has cured children where the head and face was covered with what is called the milk crust. Before it is applied, the place should be washed with milk and water, and a gentle purgative should be administered occasionally. Rhubarb tea is good for this purpose. If it is wanted in the winter, when you cannot get all the herbs green, dried ones will do, and, when made, it will keep good several years. If there is much hair on the head of a child, it should be cut off before this is put on. It is very dangerous to give infants that are affected with the milk crust calomel or any strong medicine. They should be carried out in the air occasionally and not kept all the time in a warm nursery. Sometimes a change of food is attended with a good result. There have been instances of infants dying very suddenly where powerful medicines had been administered. Hop ointment. Take a tablespoonful of the yellow dust of hops and put it in 3 spoonsful of melted lard and mix it well. Put it away in a cup for use. This has proved beneficial in cases of swelling of the breast. When cold has been taken, it will sometimes backen gatherings. Bathe the place with a warm hand several times a day and keep flannel over it. Young mothers should keep this remedy, as it is much better than preparations of camphor, which are injurious. Precipitate ointment, etc. Take 1 ounce of Venice turpentine, 1/2 ounce of powdered precipitate, 1/2 pound of lard, and 2 tablespoonsful of cold water. Mix the turpentine and precipitate together with a knife, then add the lard and water, a little at a time, till it is well mixed, then put it in little boxes. This is useful to dry up a breaking out on the face or hands. Care should be taken while using it not to take cold. Camphor dissolved in alcohol or any white spirits is very good to use on pimples on the face. Blister ointment. Sometimes after a blister has been drawn with cabbage leaves, it becomes very sore and inflamed. A salve may be made of the leaves of evergreen, a plant which grows in gardens with a thick leaf. Pound the leaves and stew them in cream or sweet lard. Spread it on a fine linen rag and apply it to the blister after it has been washed with milk and water. Another salve for blisters is to bruise the leaves of the English mallows with a little southern wool. Stew them in sweet lard until they are crisp and strain it. Apply it 3 times a day. This is good to heal a burn. Lily ointment. Gather the flowers of the sweet white lily while they are fresh and stew them in sweet lard. This is good for a swelling or sore. Elder ointment for burns, etc. After peeling off the outside bark of the elder, scrape off the green bark that is under and stew it in lard till it is crisp. Then strain in a jar and put it away to heal a blister or burn or an old sore. St. John's wort ointment and its uses. Gather the yellow flowers of St. John's wort while in full bloom. Put them in a wide mouth bottle and fill it with equal quantities of lard and sweet oil. Tie a skin over it and hang it in the sun for a month. Then strain it, put it back in the bottle and cork it up. This is one of the most effectual remedies for bruises or for a mashed foot or hand. It should always be kept where there is a family of children. Ointment for mortification. Take the berries, leaves, and bark of the black alder and bruise them well in a mortar. Stew them in lard for 1 hour, stirring all the time. Then strain it and add a small piece of beeswax. A poultice can be made for mortification of the berries, leaves, and bark of black alder, boiled in sweet cream and thickened with wheat bread. Another good poultice may be made of the inmost bark of sassafras root, pounded and boiled in weak ley, and thickened with corn meal. The patient should drink tea made of the roots of sassafras and burdock. Bread and milk and flaxseed poultices. Boil half a pint of sweet milk and thicken it with crumbs of bread. Let it boil till soft. This is the mildest poultice that can be made. A teacup of flaxseed boiled till soft requires no addition to make a good poultice. Hop poultice and its uses. Boil a handful of hops in a pint of water till very soft. Then thicken it with corn meal. This is very good for a sore throat, toothache, or swelled face. Onion poultice. Slice the onions and boil them in water till very soft. Then mash and boil them with milk and some crumbs of bread. This will draw a bile or gathering to a head very soon. Lily root poultice. Pound the roots of the sweet white lily and put them on to boil in rich milk. When soft, thicken it with crumbs of bread. This is a most valuable poultice for a gathering and has given relief in many instances where the suffering was great. Cream poultice. Put to a boil a teacup of cream. Mix 2 spoonsful of flour in milk and stir in when it boils. Ley poultice. Tie a spoonful of ashes in a rag and put it in a pint of water for 15 minutes with some catnip or life everlasting. When the herbs are soft, take out the ashes and thicken it with corn meal. Spread some grease over as you apply it. Adhesive plaster. Take 3 pounds of resin, 1/4 of a pound of beeswax, 1/4 of a pound of mutton tallow, melt together in an iron pan, then pour out about 1/3 into a bucket of water. Turn up the edges until you can hold with the hands and pull it as you would shoemaker's wax. Grease papers and put the plaster on them for use. You may then pour out the rest and treat it in the same way. A valuable salve for burns and other sores. Take of high mallows, heal all, nightshade, and elder bark a large handful, and about half the quantity of Jamestown weed. Boil them for several hours. Strain off the liquid, and add to it 1 pound of beeswax, 1 pound of mutton tallow, 1 pound of resin, 1/2 pound of lard, and boil them slowly for about 2 hours. Let it cool on the liquid. This salve will do to apply immediately to a burn or scald, or after other remedies have been used. It is also good to heal old sores or gatherings. Deschler's salve for gatherings or sores. Take about 1/2 pound of sheep's suet, the same of resin and beeswax, 1/4 of a pound of thick turpentine, and 1/2 pint of linseed oil. Pound the resin and cut the beeswax and suet. Put them over the fire with the other ingredients and keep stirring till they are mixed, but do not let them boil. Put it in a jar and tie it up. It is good for burns, biles, gathered breasts, etc. Salve for corns or bunions. Take a pint of sweet oil, 1/2 pound of red lead, 2 ounces of Venice turpentine, 2 of beeswax, and 1 of white turpentine. Boil the oil and red lead in brass or bell metal till they turn brown, stirring it constantly. Have the wax and the white turpentine sliced and put them in by degrees. Take it off the fire and stir till all is melted. Then add the Venice turpentine and continue to stir till it is cold. Then dip your hands in cold water and make it out in rolls about 2 inches long. Wrap each roll up in paper and keep them in a box. After soaking and scraping the corn, bind it on, spread on a soft rag. To warm a small piece of common adhesive plaster and apply it gives almost immediate relief. Sassafras poultice. Take the bark of the root and mash or pound it. Boil it in a little water and take out the bark and thicken it with crumbs of bread and milk. Balsam apple in spirits. Cut a ripe balsam apple in small pieces and fill a bottle with it. Pour Holland gin on it. This retains its strength for years and is useful to take a few drops at a time for the colic. It is also valuable to apply with sugar to a cut or wound. Cure for bites. Use equal quantities of resin soap, brown sugar, and powdered resin. Work well together with a few drops of molasses. A poultice of onions, sassafras, or bread and milk may be used with advantage. For mosquito bites, apply spirits of hartshorn and camphor. For scurvy of the gums, take a quarter of an ounce of bark and a piece of new lime the size of a hazelnut. Put them in a bottle with half a pint of water. Wash the mouth with this 3 times a day. For an infant's sore mouth, make a strong sage tea. Put in a little bark and borax or alum with honey to sweeten it. Cork it up in a vial and wash the child's gums with it 3 times a day, using a fresh rag every time. For affection of the kidneys, boil some onions soft. Mash and apply them where the pain is seated. This has given great relief. For a gathering on a finger, mix together equal parts of castile soap and chalk. Wet it with camphor and bind it on, or dip the finger in honey and camphorated spirits as hot as you can bear. A little burnt alum put on lint is good. Also, a bread and milk poultice with pounded sassafras root stewed in it and renewed frequently. Honey and camphor mixed in is useful for gatherings that have been of long standing. Take of the following ingredients a teaspoonful each: black pepper powdered finely, ginger, spirits of camphor, laudanum, and honey. Beat them well with the yolk of an egg, and thicken with rye flour. Or, if you cannot obtain rye, corn and wheat flour mixed will answer. This will form a soft poultice and should be applied in sufficient quantity to keep moist and changed once a day. I have known this to cure several gatherings that threatened to be severe. Huxham's bark tincture. Take 2 ounces of bark, 3 drams of Virginia snake root, 1 ounce of orange peel, and 1 quart of good spirits. Set it in a warm place and shake it daily for 2 weeks. Then pour it off and add a pint more spirits to the ingredients. This is very useful to take when recovering from the ague or bilious fever, or in the fall of the year when these are apprehended. Take 2 teaspoonsful a day before breakfast and dinner. Wine bitters for debility, etc. Take 2 ounces of chamomile flowers, 2 of centaury flowers, 1 of iron filings, and 1.5 ounces of Jesuit's bark. Put these in 2 quarts of good wine and set it in the sun 3 days, shaking it frequently. 1/2 wine glass of this, taken twice a day with water, is useful in cases of debility where there is no fever. Chamomile and wormwood teas are both excellent tonics, as is also wild cherry tree bark made in strong tea and taken cold. Spice wood berries. Boil in a pint of new milk 1 tablespoonful of bruised spice wood berries. This has a very healing effect in case of dysentery and summer disease in children. Spiced rhubarb. Take 2 ounces of rhubarb, 1/2 ounce of cloves, the same of cinnamon, and 1/4 ounce of mace. Stew them in a pint and 1/2 of water till 1/2 is evaporated. Then strain it and add 1/2 pint of good spirits. 2 teaspoonsful is a dose for a child a year on with the summer disease, and 2 tablespoonsful for a grown person. For chapped lips, put a teacup full of rich cream over some coals to stew with 3 tablespoonsful of powdered loaf sugar. This has a healing effect. Another remedy, equally good, is a teacupful of honey. Add 1/2 the quantity of mutton tallow and stew together till well mixed. Pour it out in a cup and keep stirring till cold. For chapped hands, mix together equal quantities of rich cream and strong vinegar, and rub it over every time you wash your hands. Bathing. Almost every family, even if their circumstances be moderate, can have a shower bath. They may save the expense by improving health and strength. 1 bucket full of cold water is sufficient. You should wear on the head an oilcloth cap. For a person of strong health, the bath may be taken on first rising in the morning, but for one disposed to be delicate, 2 or 3 hours after breakfast is the most proper time. To produce warmth, rub the person with a crash towel or horsehair glove. You should be careful to take some exercise after the bath, or you will be more liable to take cold. Never take a bath soon after a meal, as that is injurious. Persons subject to colds, sore throat, rheumatism, sick, headache, nervous disease, or general debility have been greatly benefited by the daily use of the shower bath. Children that are oppressed with heat are much refreshed and will rest well after a bath. The water should be moderated for them. Infants should be bathed every morning in a tub of water about milk warm, and may be very early accustomed to its use. They will become fond of it and are less liable to take cold from exposure to the air. They generally take a refreshing nap after coming out of the bath. They should not be allowed to remain in more than 5 or 10 minutes, should be well wiped with a soft towel, and then rubbed with flannel and dressed, their clothes being warmed to prevent a chill. Elderberry jam for colds, etc. Add 1 quart of nicely picked elderberries to 1 pound of loaf sugar and 1 teacup of water. Let them boil slowly for 1 hour. If you prefer it without the seeds, strain the berries after boiling them for a few minutes before you add the sugar. This is useful and agreeable for colds, taken through the day or at night when the cough is troublesome. It is also said to purify the blood, and is taken to prevent erysipelas. Black currant jelly, a remedy for sore throat. Take ripe black currants, mash and strain them, and to every pint of the juice add 1 pound of loaf sugar. Boil it until it becomes a jelly. It is valuable for sore throats. Quince seeds, dried, and boiling water poured on them, make a useful gargle for sore throat. Lavender compound. Pick the lavender blossoms and put them in a bottle with a few blades of mace and some cloves. Fill up the bottle with good spirits and let it stand corked up till all the strength is extracted. When, strain it off and color it with a little cochineal. End of section 17 of Domestic Cookery. Read by Dennis Sayers in Modesto, California, summer 2005, for LibriVox.